This is the Big E Sports Show
on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning. It is time for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, coming your way over the next 2 hours. We love to connect with our audience. Join us at eRadio Sports, live on Twitter, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. You don't want to miss this exclusive and very special show. We got a lot of NBA news and notes. The 15th year as the Chicago Bulls NBA analyst, Stacey King, will be dropping by on Monday night. He will be inducted into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. We're going to celebrate that. Also, Brian Grant, NBA great, is going to be here to discuss his new book that has just been released. It is titled Rebound. We've got lots of PGA news and notes, lots of baseball to get into. And so we're going to pot up his mic. That's my guy, my producer, who loves to hang out on Saturday mornings with the Big E, and that is Jack McCraw. Follow him on Twitter at the Jack McCraw. Hello, Jack.
What's up, E? How are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing great, and I love kicking off our program talking some basketball. We're in the final stretch of the NBA season before the playoffs get underway. And let's talk about, let's head out west to the Golden State. Why is Steph Curry on such a hot streak?
It seems like he can't miss from three right now. He has had multiple games of hitting 10 or more threes this season, and right now he's climbing up in the MVP standings. He is the only reason the Golden State Warriors would even make that play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. He's just shooting at an unbelievable streak right now, and he's keeping the Golden State Warriors afloat in this really tough Western Conference.
You know, as we stand back and just look at his production that he continues to post, I mean, is he having the best offensive season in NBA history?
It's hard for me to say that because he has had this series and stretches where he looks like the greatest shooter of all time.
Sure.
I don't know if this season in particular is the best of all time, but it's certainly up there as one of the best shooting performances I've ever seen.
Well, one of the top teams, of course, in the Western Conference is the Utah Jazz. Also, the Suns are right behind them. They are. Do you think they're legitimate contenders for an NBA title this season?
Jazz, no. Suns, yes. The Suns, with Chris Paul and Devin Booker in that backcourt, DeAndre Ayton's developing into a great NBA center. I think the Suns can be dangerous in the West, and the Jazz, I don't know. I just don't buy them, sorry.
Well, I think one of the other teams that we've got our eye on is the Lakers. They are fifth in the Western Conference standings. Can they stay healthy come playoff time? Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Our PGA news and notes, you know what? That's a great way to kick off our program, and we are so delighted to have back with us from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio and co-host of Katrick and McGinnis on Tap. That's the Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, the great Brian Katrick. Hello, BK.
Hello, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you with us on this weekend. We've got a lot to get into, and for you personally, it's been a very busy month of April. You had the opportunity to call the Masters on PGA Tour Radio, and that always brings out the best. It's a week we know that can totally change a player's life. So what were some of your takeaways from watching this year's winner in Hideki Matsuyama in that dramatic final round?
Well, it was a fun week for sure. It's always the most fun week on our calendar.
Oh, yeah.
So an absolute blast for us on the crew and for me personally. I won't forget the assault that Hideki unleashed on the golf course Saturday after the weather delay. We had an hour and 17-minute weather delay on Saturday.
And mm-hmm.
While we were all trying to do the math and figure out if they were going to finish before darkness or not, Hideki was the guy that just made all the right adjustments. The golf course had not been rained on since the previous Wednesday. So you're talking about 7 days plus three more, which I guess that's 10. So
uh-huh.
I'm just going through it in my head. So it had gone 10 days without Mother Nature watering it down. You know, the crew was keeping it, keeping it watered the way they wanted it. And they had it the way they wanted it, firm and fast and bouncy, and that's the way we love major championships, at least the way I love major championships. And then Mother Nature comes down and 0.3 inch in an hour, and the players were going to have to make adjustments. And they all did, and Hideki's were the ones that worked. And it add to that the fact that for that, you know, for those 9 holes, he putted great and hit the ball exactly where he was looking and made all the right guesses as far as what type of release he was going to get, and shot 30 and basically took control of the golf tournament. It was a really remarkable sequence of events there Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. It was a historic win, no doubt, for Hideki. You're listening to the voice of Brian Katrick. You can check him out, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. And it was, we reflect back on that very special week. You had the opportunity to work in the booth with Greg Norman, Australian golfing legend. You guys, of course, sounded awesome. So what's it like to work with him? And did he provide some insight on the game that, you know, we wouldn't hear anywhere else? What did he share?
Oh, my goodness. He was so much fun to mm-hmm. sit next to. And he was just an inspirational figure. So Greg Norman's in the Hall of Fame. We all understand who he is. But I think it was cool to get reacquainted with who he is as he makes his return to Augusta National. So a couple things you got to know. This is the tournament he always said he wanted to win the most.
Yes.
And we all know that, you know, he's been on the wrong side of some of the great moments. You may not realize that a whole lot of the greatest golf shots ever hit in the history of the game were hit to beat Greg Norman.
Wow.
He was on the receiving end of a lot of those great shots. At Augusta, for example, the yes sir putt that Jack Nicklaus hit at 17. Well, he steps toward the 15th fairway, and Greg Norman tells a story. He and Seve were in that 15th fairway. Remember, Jack was playing out in front of everybody else. Greg finished second in 86 to Jack Nicklaus. Nobody thinks about who finished second. 87, the Larry Mize chip-in. Well, you know, Seve was eliminated on the first playoff hole. That chip-in at 11 was to beat Greg Norman. We know that in 96 at the Masters, that was by his own hand, but it doesn't make it any less painful. And you go look at some of the other shots, you know, whether it was Gomez holding out at Bay Hill or Bob Tway holding out at the PGA or Fuzzy Zeller losing his mind at Winged Foot. I mean, Greg Norman's been on the receiving end of some of the greatest golf shots ever hit. So, and a lot of them have come at the Masters. So for him to show up and come back and just face all that with his head held high and his shoulders back, and, you know, sticking his chin out, here you go again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been here. Yes, I've lost here. But no, it hasn't diminished my love for this place. That's inspirational. And I will never forget that. And that's going to be my takeaway. I loved working with him. I think he's great at his job. That goes without saying. But the resilience he showed just in showing up, I think we can't tell this story unless we start there.
You're listening to the voice, Brian Katrick of SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, reliving this year's Masters. And it's interesting, as we talk about Greg Norman, I understand, you know, he gave some advice to Dustin Johnson on the putting green before he won the Masters in that November tournament. Did he share that with you?
He didn't tell me specifically. He was working on some technique things. Greg is a great student of the game and knows a ton about the swing, loves and knows a ton about equipment as well. So he and Dustin have been close, and, you know, they were just talking about putting. And no, he did not share specifically. I told him to put his hands higher or whatever it was. They were just talking through some things, and I think Dustin had some questions, and Greg clearly had some answers. And Greg wasn't talking about that. You know, it wasn't until the winner's press conference on Sunday that we find out that had gone on. So, no, is the answer to your question. I don't know what the actual tip was.
Well, I am kind of curious. What did Greg Norman have to share about Will Zalatoris? I mean, what an inspirational story. And, you know, from you being there, I mean, why do you think he was able to perform so well as a rookie, Brian?
Well, Will Zalatoris' own words, he said earlier in the week that he may just be dumb enough to think he could win
okay,
this thing.
Yeah.
All right, so that's self-deprecating. Uh-huh. You know, that's mm-hmm. Will just putting his ego aside. Will's good enough. You know, who's played better golf the last year and a half than Will Zalatoris? You know, this guy has come up from nothing. He was outside the top 1,400 in the world in April of 19 when Tiger won. He was outside the top 400 in the world when Dustin won back in November, and he plays all the way into the top 50 in the world. just enough in enough time to make it into the Masters. I mean, that's a guy that's coming in complete control of his game. So, yeah, is it a surprise that he hung around the top of the leaderboard? Yes, it's definitely a surprise because Masters rookies just don't do that. It was just as much a surprise that the 9-under par number that he posted was only one off what was the eventual win. This was the widest one-stroke margin of victory I can ever remember in a major. I mean, at no point was 9-under par relevant. At no point. Yeah. That was never the number. And yet it was only one back at the end of the day. So hats off to Will Zalatoris. I hope he keeps it up. And I don't remember what Greg's specific thoughts were, but, you know, Greg understands talent when he sees it. And, you know, he was a fast learner himself and a fast starter himself. He finished sixth in his first Masters. So I think he can appreciate what Will Zalatoris is doing.
Wow. Will Zalatoris finishes 9-under par, 70, 68, 71, and 70. And I agree with you. I think one of the things I appreciate the most about him is just his humility. And so he's a breakout star. We've got our eye on him. Now, a couple of the players that I was a bit surprised, what's going on with Rory McIlroy and DJ? I mean, these guys didn't even make the cut.
No, and you know the game well enough, Alyssa, to know that everybody doesn't always bring their best stuff,
that's true.
What happened. I think you're more worried about Rory there coming into the next major where he is the default defending champion. He won the last time we played at Kiawah Island. So you're worried about Rory, whose game has been struggling. You're a little less worried about Dustin, who, you know, had won 5 months earlier at Augusta National. And, oh, by the way, Dustin Johnson's from South Carolina. He's going to be okay at Kiawah also. So not really worried about DJ. Big names don't always have it. Neither one of them putted well enough. I'm a little worried about where Rory is, but I'm always also a silver lining guy, so I'll give you the silver lining.
Okay.
It'd be pretty easy for Rory to get complacent as a new father and just say, you know what, I'm Rory McIlroy. I won at Kiawah by 8 shots. I'm going to be fine. Let me just come in here and, you know, my game will be good enough. Well, right now he knows his game isn't good enough. So he's got to get some, you know, he's got to go back to the grindstone. And when Rory goes back to the grindstone, he's better than anybody else. So it'll be interesting to see if he can come up with anything in time. But I think that he will, and I think he'll be better by then.
Well, the good news is another player we've got to quickly highlight is Jordan Spieth, because, Brian, it looks like he's officially back. And just, you know, what do you think officially, you know, cost him from winning this year's Masters? Because he was in contention.
Yeah, I just think that Hideki was too good.
Okay.
You know, I think Jordan
That's
is
fair.
Back. But, yeah, I think winning the week before took a lot out of Jordan's tank. And you can't win them all, you know. So, you know, he's back, but he's not at full stride yet. I'm not worried about Jordan's speed, though. It was great to see him win.
He is simply the best. Brian Katrick, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. You can check him out. Katrick and McGinnis on tab Monday through Friday. They share everything about the world of golf and debate topics only as they can. Always a true pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us this weekend, Brian. You take care and stay safe.
It's great to be on with you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we get underway with our next segment, be sure and stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. And for a limited time, you can purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are counting down to the 2021 NFL Draft and thrilled to introduce our next guest. He was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals in the second round in 2012. And Devin Still played college football at Penn State, where he was a consensus All-American. He also played with the Houston Texans and the Jets. It's such a true pleasure to have him with us on this Saturday morning to talk about and reflect on his time in the NFL. And also, what we love about Devin is that he's a guy that loves to give back. He uses his social media platforms to raise awareness, and he has teamed up with Clear Blue to raise awareness and bring attention to the pre-pregnancy phase and to normalize the conversation around trying to conceive, as it can be an emotional time on the conception journey. I have a lot of friends. The struggle is very real, and we're so excited to have him with us. That is former NFL defensive end Devin Still. Good morning, Devin.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. And it's hard to believe we're less than 1 week away from this year's draft. So take us back. I mean, what was that week leading up to the draft? What was that like for you? And kind of share about the pre-draft process.
Yeah, it was really exciting. You know, I started playing football when I was 13 years old, and about my sophomore year in high school is when I started dreaming about the day that I would play in the NFL and hear my name called in New York City and, you know, be able to walk across that stage and give the Commissioner Goodell that big hug that I always players do when I was watching the draft.
Uh-huh.
But the week leading up to the draft, it was just filled with so much excitement about finally seeing my childhood dream come true.
So what were your expectations on the night of the draft? I mean, did you have any idea that you were going to go in the second round, or did you anticipate maybe that you might go in the first round?
No, see, that's why the draft is so crazy. So okay. I got invited to New York because I was projected to go into the first round. And, you know, as the first round was closing out that first night, and I saw everybody else's dreams coming true, and I didn't get that phone call, it hurt, to be honest with you. It really hurt. And I contemplated whether I was going to go back the next day to the green room, to the draft. But my dad talked me into doing it, not to go home, but to see this thing through. And I'm glad he did, because my name did get called in the second round, and I was able to walk across that stage and give Roger Goodell that big hug. So mm-hmm. I just like to encourage the players. Now, it doesn't really matter where you go in the draft. Just realize when you get that call, whether you get your name called to go walk across the stage, or you get the phone call, or you're signed free agent, it doesn't matter. Just being able to have that opportunity to play for a team is a blessing, and the focus should be on doing everything you can once you get into the NFL to stay there.
You are listening to the voice of Devin Still, former NFL defensive end, and we are reliving his memories of being drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals back in 2012. And it was a life-changing day for you. And as we talk about that, I mean, so what was that like for you to be there with your family? And obviously, there's so many special, you know, guys that were around you, too.
Yeah, it was extremely important. I had my whole immediate family there. And for that moment, what it meant to me was it just showed everybody that all the sacrifices that they made when I was growing up to put me in a position to, you know, be in New York, to hear my name get called in the draft, it was worth it, because a lot of people made a lot of sacrifices for me, from my parents to coaches to little league coaches, just like everybody, let them know that this did pay off and that my dream came true and their dreams came true, and I was just able to change my family situation.
Mm-hmm. So your dream comes into fruition. So pull back the curtain a bit and take us inside and share what that preparation was like, getting ready for the combine and the run-up to the draft.
Yeah, so for me, it was pretty tough, because I was coming, I was out of Penn State. I was the captain of Penn State in 2012 when we went through the whole Sandusky scandal. So there was a lot of crazy things going on in my environment. I was dealing with a lot of injuries throughout that season, so I didn't really get to prepare for the combine the way that I wanted to. I didn't get to go to the Senior Bowl because I was dealing with back issues, toe issues, so I didn't really get the training experience that I grew up watching. My main focus was making sure I was healthy going into a team, so I put a lot of my focus on rehab, of course, but just also the mental aspect in it, because a lot of people don't understand how grueling those interviews are mm-hmm. at the combine. It's not just about performing on the field, which the whole world gets to watch on TV, but it's what goes down behind closed doors as the team interviews you to make sure that you're the right person for the team. So leading up to the combine, my focus was on my mental and making sure that I had the right questions going into those interviews.
Former NFL defensive end Devin Still is our very special guest. As he just mentioned, he played for Penn State and the Nittany Lions from 2008 to 2011. He was the 2011 Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. What an awesome experience. So let's move ahead and get your thoughts on this year's draft. I mean, how would you evaluate this class and the impact that these potential prospects can have with their teams? I mean, they're anticipating it's going to be a historic draft with four quarterbacks selected as perhaps the first four picks. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I think it is going to be a historic draft with all the talent that they have at the quarterback position. You know, me, like many of people, know that Trevor Lawrence is probably going to go number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But there's other, you know, good quarterbacks. The BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson, Ohio State was Justin Fields, and Alabama's quarterback, Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're all going to get drafted in the top 10. So there's a lot of talent at the quarterback position. I think we're going to see, you know, some people who play offensive tackle get drafted high as well, because we need them to be able to protect the quarterback. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool draft to watch this year.
Okay, so your former team, the Bengals, they've got a lot of questions. Let's zero in on them. What do you think their biggest need is, Devin?
Offensive tackle to protect the quarterback, because he suffered a gruesome injury last year. So I know that they're going to do everything they can to protect their investment. So I think that they're going to go with the offensive tackle.
And I was going to say, what kind of success do you think that Joe Burrow will have this year?
Yeah, so to me, it's all going to be about how he bounces back from this injury, because as a quarterback and as a team, you want to make sure that your leader of the team has those signs of resiliency. So if he's able to bounce back from this injury and be the same caliber of player that he was before or even better, I think that's going to motivate the team. It's going to help the team rally behind him. And like I said, if they draft or put together an offensive line that can protect him, I think that he's going to have immense success because of everything he went through in college. I believe he started out at Ohio State and ended up transferring to LSU, where he had immense success there. So he's no stranger to resiliency or adversity. So I look forward to him bouncing back from his injuries.
We are getting you ready for the 2021 NFL draft, less than 1 week away, going one-on-one with former NFL defensive end who had a very successful career at the highest level, and that is Devin Still. And it's certainly one of the reasons we extended this conversation was for you to share your latest platform and how you continue to make an impact off the field. You have teamed up with Clear Blue, and so share, you know, why it was important for you to team up and what you're bringing attention to.
Yeah, so a lot of people know of me and know about my family, because in 2014, my daughter Leah was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and we went public with that battle with cancer. So ever since then, me and my family, me and my wife Asha, we've been using our platform to really shed light on some of the issues or obstacles that you face as a family. And one of the obstacles that we faced on numerous occasions was our TTC journey, our trying to conceive journey, where we, you know, we had a multitude of negative tests after negative tests when we were trying to conceive our youngest daughter right now. And then we also faced the embryonic pregnancy and had a miscarriage last year during the pandemic, which has been pretty tough.
Wow.
And we again decided to use our platform on social media to really shed light on, you know, this issue. And Clear Blue helped us out along that journey, the first TTC journey, where they gave us ovulation test system to help us track my wife's peak ovulation cycle, and we were able to have a successful pregnancy. Like I said, we have a 2-year-old daughter, and then now they reached out to us again to help us along this journey. So just being able to partner with them, where they created a safe space for us to be a part of a panel to really talk about the struggles, have been, you know, truly a blessing.
Okay, so where can our listeners go to find out more about this very special campaign? And it's so encouraging because so many of the panelists share their stories.
Right. So they can visit clearblue.com/conceivinghood, and it really gives you facts and you know, faces of people who have been going through this type of struggle, and it also provides you the resources to help you have the high success rate in trying to conceive.
We are wrapping up our time. Devin Still has been our very special guest, former NFL defensive end. And I have to ask you, as we get ready to close out our interview, you had just mentioned your 10-year-old daughter, Leah, who is celebrating 5 years of being cancer-free. How is she doing? What kind of things does she like to do?
She's doing well. Actually, this past March, she turned 6 years cancer-free. So she's been doing awesome, living out her life of, you know, being a kid, enjoying hanging out with her friends and not have to worry about going to the hospital and, you know, getting chemo and things of that sort.
Absolutely. Well, we just send you all the best. And Devin, thank you so much for carving out time. And one more time, reach out to our audience, and where can they go to find out more about Clear Blue and this amazing campaign?
Deb, if you ever struggled with your TTC journey, or right now you're going through a TTC journey with your partner, you can go to clearblue.com/conceivinghood to find out more information.
Our very special guest has been Devin Still, former NFL defensive end. Have a great weekend, Devin. Stay safe.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. We are always live on Twitter at eRadio Sports. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And as always, you can stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, you can purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, our NFL draft coverage continues here in hour one, but right now we're going to shift gears. We're going to hit the hardwood and talk some NBA and focus on the Eastern Conference and the Chicago Bulls. We are so delighted to welcome back to the program, and that is the Chicago Bulls analyst. He won three titles with Chicago. He was an All-American at the University of Oklahoma. And that is the great Stacey King. I must mention, you need to subscribe to his weekly podcast that airs every Wednesday, where he covers everything sports and more. It is titled, Give Me the Hot Sauce. So buckle up. It's time to get a defensive stance. Always good to have Stacey Ronald King on the program. Hello, Stacey.
Hey, what's going on, Liz? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to catch up. And before we get underway, you know, talk about the Bulls and where they are in this final stretch of the regular season, we just want to send out our congratulations as you will be inducted on Monday night into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that. How does it feel? And will you be in Oklahoma City with all the, you know, restrictions from the pandemic and the COVID?
Well, it's a great honor. You know, growing up in Oklahoma, I never thought in a million years that I'd be in the Hall of Fame, any Hall of Fame. You know, I just played the game and the way it's supposed to be played, had fun doing it, and it's taken me, basketball's taken me to so many different avenues and, you know, all over the world, which I'm truly grateful and blessed for. So to be able to go in the Hall of Fame, Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, is an honor. There's a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players, men, women, in that Hall of Fame. So I feel very lucky to be in there. And I'm not going to be there because of the NBA protocol, the travel with the COVID going around. And we're on a very strict protocol here in the NBA. So I'm not going to be able to go physically be there, but I will be there virtually. So I've sent out a video to all the people that will be there on Monday night. So I really, really sucks that I'm not there because I really wanted to go. But unfortunately, COVID has kind of put a damper on a lot of people's schedule.
You know, Stacey, you mentioned so many great coaches that are in the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, and you had the opportunity to play for the late and great Billy Tubbs. You know, when you reflect back on your time in Norman and your relationship with him, what kind of impact did he have on you personally and as a player? What'd you learn from Billy?
Well, I mean, just, you know, he had a huge impact on me. I mean, he's one of the reasons why I'm the person I am today. We didn't always see eye to eye. We had a love-hate relationship my first couple of years there at Oklahoma. And a lot of love and hate was based on me because I thought I should have been playing more and I should have been starting over some guys, and he didn't feel like I was ready. And then when I was ready, he put me in the starting lineup, and then I just took off. But, you know, he was a confidant up until his last days. You know, matter of fact, he was supposed to be the one presenting me in the Hall of Fame. He was supposed to be introducing me. And, he said he was going to be there. And you know, I knew how sick he was. You know, he was very sick. He didn't let everybody know. Only his family and close people to him knew. And he battled to the end. He was a fighter. And, you know, he sorely missed every single day. Not a day doesn't go by that I don't think about him. I talk to his family all the time. I talk to his son, Tommy Tubbs, at least 3 or 4 times a month.
Oh, yeah.
And so we stay connected. And, you know, he was a great man. I mean, a lot of people, you know, didn't like him because his teams were winning. You know, a lot of people don't like winners. You know, and the way we won was unconventional, you know, blowing people out by 40, 50 points. You know, a lot of people didn't like that. But he brought an NBA-style basketball to college basketball, and he's one of the big reasons why Oklahoma City has an NBA team. You know, had our Sooner teams okay. not been so exciting and had the fan base, the rabid fan base that we had, there probably would be no NBA team in Oklahoma City right now. They'd probably still be in Seattle. So he's one of the reasons why there's an NBA team, Oklahoma City Thunder. He was the reason why New Orleans came to Oklahoma City when they had the hurricane, a few years back. And, you know, Oklahoma's a great basketball place. It's all that's known for football, but there's a lot of rabid fans there in Oklahoma for basketball.
Oklahoma's legendary coach Billy Tubbs, he died in November at the age of 85 after a 5-year battle with leukemia. So, you know, if Coach Tubbs was at your induction on Monday night, what do you think he would have shared about you and the opportunity to coach this young man from Lawton, Oklahoma?
He probably had all the crowd laughing, you know, based on – You know, there's a funny story, you know, that we've told many, many times where I was after the Sweet 16 loss to Iowa my sophomore year, I was going to transfer, and I just wasn't happy with my playing time. I'd already had my school picked out. I just needed my academic counselor to get my, get my records and stuff ready for me to transfer. So he went back and told Coach Tubbs, hey, I think you need to go talk to Stacy. I think he's getting ready to transfer. So Coach Tubbs comes up, like typical Coach Tubbs. I got my headphones on, and he pops one of them up and asks me what I was listening to. He said, are you listening to country? Are you listening to that rap? And I said, well, I'm not listening to country, so I guess I am listening to rap. He said, you need to turn that trash off and put on some country music. And so, you know, at that time, I'm 19 years old. You know, I don't find it funny, but, you know, because that's just his way of trying to loosen it up. He sits down next to me, says, hey, look. He goes, hey, I know you're upset. I know you're mad because you didn't play, and you're right. You should be. You should have played. I should have played you. Because the game before that against number 5 Pittsburgh, I had 19 points and like 14 rebounds to help us advance and upset Pittsburgh. And, you know, the next game I thought I was, you know, I had arrived. You know, that's when superstars make their name in the big games. And so I felt like I had arrived. And I played 5 minutes against Iowa. We ended up losing by 3. And so I was really upset about it. But he told me, he said, hey, look, you know what? Just go home, go back to law and talk to your mom and dad. You know, don't make any rush decisions why you're upset. You know, just think about it, you know. And then, you know, I'm like, whatever, I'm leaving. I'm thinking to myself, I'm leaving. Then he tells me, he says, hey, he goes, next year it's your time. You're gonna show a lot of people what they are that they don't know, what I know, that you're gonna be a great player your last 2 years. And I'm like, man, you say that just trying to keep me here. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, no, I'm being honest with you. It's going to be your year next year, which was my junior year. And then so he gets up and he says, well, you know, just go home, talk to your parents, see what they say, and, you know, come back to the office on Monday and let's talk about it. And so right when he gets up and he starts to leave, he said, hey, Stacey King, I want to tell you something. He said, now listen to me. He said, your future is bright, son.
Wow.
And then he paused and he says, and he starts to walk off, and as he walks off, he turns back and he tells me, just make sure you're wearing your sunglasses. And then he walks off. And at that time, I'm 19 now. You got to remember, I don't understand the words that he's saying because I'm so angry.
Right.
But as I got older and I started looking through things and remembering that one statement that he said, he was right. You know, I went back home to talk to my parents to see if they would sign the transfer papers. And he knew my parents were going to say no because I come from a military family. So he knew my dad was not going to allow me to transfer. He's not going to let me stop, you know, just because things are not going my way. And my dad told me, he said, I don't care if you play another second at the University of Oklahoma. You're going to get your education and you're going to stick to your commitment. You committed to them. We told you not to go there. You wanted to go. So now you're going to stay there. So, and Tubbs knew that. So he knew I wasn't going anywhere.
Chicago Bulls great Stacey King is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And you went on to a prolific career, 3 NBA titles, and had just an incredible. And, of course, it's your 15th year as the Chicago Bulls NBA analyst. Chicago is your home. Let's talk about some of those Hall of Fame moments and when you guys played for the national championship against Kansas. What do you remember the most from that particular game?
Well, it's what I do remember. We beat Kansas twice that year, handily, and you know, we knew Danny Manning was a great player, and you're not going to stop a great player. But we felt really confident going in there. We were 36-3 at the time. We felt like we had beaten arguably the second best team in college basketball behind us in Arizona in the semifinal game. So we felt like, okay, the winner out of Duke and, you know, Kansas, which we thought would be Duke, we were really looking forward to that game. And we just didn't expect Kansas. We didn't expect Kansas to be there. But they were, I think they lost 11 games that year, but they were a better team than 11 games they lost. They probably were a single-digit loss team. They for whatever reason, they just weren't playing well during the whole season. And then they put it together in the tournament. That's what makes the NCAA tournament so beautiful is, like, you know, it's not like this five-game series or seven-game series. If that was the case, the best team would always win. But it's a one-game, you know, series. And, if you know, the best team doesn't always win. And we ran into a team that was hot. I mean, they came through their region, and, you know, they beat some teams they weren't supposed to beat. And what I do remember the first half, it was 50-50, which I think is still a NCAA record for first half.
Wow.
And, you know, I thought we were on our way to 100-and-some-point game, because that's the way we played. And we knew Kansas didn't play that way. So we felt like them running with us was a huge mistake. And it's funny you say this, because on my podcast yesterday, I had Danny Manning on my podcast.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Danny are friends. Everybody thinks me and Danny are, you know, in college. In college, I hate him because he went to Kansas.
Right.
But I got a chance to spend a lot of time with Danny at the Olympic trials all summer when the last collegiate team went to the Olympics in 88. And I got a chance to really spend some quality time with Danny. We became great friends, and we've been friends for over 30 years. So he was on my podcast yesterday, and the question I asked him was, because I never talked to anybody from Kansas. I never really talked about the game because it was a really sore spot for me. You know, it was almost like therapeutic talking to Danny yesterday on my podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so my co-host always said, hey, you know, we brought a couch in there so I could lay on the couch yesterday and get through all my angst of losing that game.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of comedians that work with me. They, you know, if they weren't my friends, they'd have been fired for that comment. But anyway, so Danny comes on. And what I wanted to ask Danny was, like, okay, you guys tried to run with us in the first half. Was that by design, or was that something that just happened? And he said it wasn't by design. It was something that just happened. They had a flow going. They were making shots. They weren't getting turned over like we normally turn teams over. And so they were able to stay in the game, you know. And then I asked him, I said, what was the talk at halftime? Because I know what our talk at halftime was. You know, Tubbs was really excited by the way they were playing with us. Like, he knew if they came out in the second half and tried to run with us, we were gonna gas them because we were the best conditioned team in college basketball.
And Larry Brown was their coach.
Yeah, Larry Brown was their coach. Mm-hmm. And we just knew they couldn't run with us. So Danny told me at halftime, you know, they decided to slow the tempo down, you know, because they knew they couldn't run with us. And so they wanted to go back to isolating him, allowing him to break down the defense to create for his teammates. And what we didn't account for, and I told him this yesterday, what we didn't account for, we knew Danny was going to get hit. I mean, he was Michael Jordan in college basketball. You couldn't stop him. He got all the calls, and we couldn't stop him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the other guys, the Miracles, because, you know, that's what they called him, Danny Manning and the Miracles. So it was the other guys that we didn't account for, because in the other previous meetings, we shut everybody else down. Danny would get 38, and they'd lose by, you know, double digits because we shut everybody else down. But they had some guys come in that played – I mean, literally, that was their best game probably in their life, you know, their life. They had a walk-on football player, and I remember this guy's name like I remember my son's name. I have nightmares about it. Clint Normore, he's a football player. He's a walk-on football player.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and had hit some big baskets for Kansas when we were making a run. And he didn't panic. He didn't turn the ball over. Kevin Pritchard had a very good game. Chris Piper, who couldn't score in an empty gym with a ladder at that time, you know, he had double digit points. I mean, so they had a bunch of guys that we didn't account for, that we kind of felt like, you know, we weren't worried about them. And that came back and, you know, bit us in the butt.
Our NBA news and notes continues with the Chicago Bulls. Stacey King after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Chicago Bulls and Oklahoma great Stacey King. Just a few more minutes with Stacey King from the Chicago Bulls, who is joining us at Sports Map Radio Network. Let's move ahead. We were there just a moment ago highlighting the national championship game. But what was the week like for you leading up to the NBA draft? You were selected sixth overall back in 1989. Stacey, we're getting old.
Hey, you're only as old as you feel. Just because there's snow on the mountaintop doesn't mean there's not a fire in the furnace.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, the draft was special because both my parents got a chance to go to the draft in New York City, and I was there with my family, which was awesome.
Oh.
And then the fact that, you know, you only go through the draft once. You know, you get to shake the commissioner's hand. You know, I got interviewed by Craig Sager before he got into all the wild clothes and stuff like that. You know, it was so much fun, you know, just to put on that hat, you know, and then being in the green room with all the players, all the other great players that were there. It was a dream come true. It was probably more than I imagined it would be, you know, just the excitement of it, the nervousness that I had sitting in there waiting for my name to be called. And then, you know, I was supposed to go number one. And then when my name didn't go number one, I kind of got nervous. I was like, oh, man. I'm like, okay, man, I'll go number two. And it was like number two, three, four, and five went. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just was college basketball player of the year. Now I'm not even in the top five?
Yep.
And then I ended up going to Chicago, which I wanted to go anyway, you know, just because I was a big Michael Jordan fan. And I love Doug Collins. And Doug Collins is a good friend of mine to this day. I really, really wanted to play for him. And he was the reason why I got to Chicago, because he told me he was going to draft me. He said, I don't see you dropping the six, but if you do, we're picking you up. You won't go past us. And I'm thinking to myself, listen, like, there's no way I'm even going to get the six. I'll go somewhere higher before six.
He is simply the best from the Chicago Bulls. Oklahoma great, being inducted on Monday night into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations. We just wanted to celebrate, and we just wish you continued success. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
Look forward to another conversation. You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.